I do have a boyfriend this week. Durr. This is not like I should slap myself if this wasn't my boyfriend.
Welcome to the Incoherent Fangirl,
where we are so hungry because we are talking to Lauren Kung Justin today. And we just know to expect hunger when she comes up.
Basically, yes. I am Karen from Pine Hollow.
And I'm Mandy from New Anglia.
Welcome back to the podcast.
Hello. Hello.
Time to break Mandy's heart again.
Why do we have to do this every episode? We could just let it be a mystery.
And then, yeah, I mean, we could in theory, but we're not going to because it's fun. No. In our Rude. Timeline, it is January 18th. And in y'all's timeline, it is January 26th. The end
Hello
of
from
the month.
Disney World.
Ugh, whatever.
I'll be at Disney Springs the day you're listening to this.
You are the worst, Burr.
I try.
All right. This week in fangirling, tell me what you did.
So I, first and foremost, traumatized some children this weekend. Their uncle went out of town and I was like, you know what it's time for? Because you've never seen it. It's time for you children to watch The Notebook.
Oh my goodness.
Well, they've been seeing and or hearing a quote from it on TikTok because it's like, I don't know, the trend is like showing somebody taking care of you or whatever. And it's the, I want a white house with blue shutters. And so they didn't realize exactly what they were getting into when they mentioned it to me, because that was my comfort movie all through high school. Literally, I would get home if I didn't have to work and I would put that DVD in every single day of my life. So they'd watch The Notebook with me. I obnoxiously quoted it just like I do A Christmas Story. You don't want to watch A Christmas Story, any Christmas movies, or The Notebook with me, because I'm going to tell you what they're going to say 3 seconds before they say it. I was really proud of that. One of them laughed at the end and one of them sobbed. Yeah. When the boy was away, she's down at the bottom of the stairs. The one that cried is down at the bottom of the stairs just shaking her head at me now. The one that sobbed, she's like, never. I'm trying to get her to watch A Walk to Remember. And she's like, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
She's learned her lesson.
Yeah. She's downstairs doing like a no-no dance now too. I can see her. So yeah, we had what we call a crappetizers night, where I just made a bunch of appetizers and we vegetated on the couch and watched The Notebook. And that was wonderful. I haven't watched it in a few years and that is not going to happen again. I was very close when we talked to Emily Wiberly and Austin Sigmund Broca last week, but I finished completely the breakup tour. But we already talked all about that last week.
We did indeed.
And then I read Red String Theory. That's weird to say.
I was like, why does she keep repeating it?
Because it's red. Okay, so Red String Theory is by Lauren Kung Justin. It follows Rooney Gao, who is an artist working under the pseudonym Red String Girl. She's a firm believer in the red string of fate, and she just knows that her one true love is on the other side of her string, right? She's got this very ambitious work of art. I think it's in Central Park, right? My brain went Central
Square
or
Park.
Washington.
Washington
Square.
Washington
okay.
Square Park.
I was like, is it Central or is it Washington? Okay, Washington Square Park. And it's like perfect. And people can leave like their little wishes or like just anything that they want fate to bring them. And she's so proud of it. The city of New York, however, not so much. They have other plans. And tragically and cruelly, her shining piece of art is destroyed. That same day, she has a few chance encounters with this hot rando guy, Jack Liu, who's a freaking engineer at NASA, mind you. She doesn't know that. They agree not to talk about jobs. So they have this, she has this addictive presence where you just want to be around her, and Jack can't look away. So they have this like magical New York City night that he makes her go to Times Square, which like no self-respecting New Yorker wants to do. They have midnight dumplings, of course, and of course, Lauren explained them so much that like you could taste them. I don't know how she does it. Seconds after her taxi like loses sight of Jack at the end of the night, she realizes that the number that he gave her, she mistyped it in the phone, she was supposed to text him something, and the person at the other end texts back and he's like, I don't know who you're looking for, but it's not me, sorry. She spends months trying to track Jack down, trying different versions of the phone number, trying to remember, but she can't ever get a hold of him, catch him. Meanwhile, after her taxi leaves, Jack is like, his phone was dead. That's why the number, the text didn't come through. He thinks she didn't want to actually text me, so she just faked it. But he's still trying to hunt her down. He's trying to find the dumpling shop that they went to, anything, any tie to her, and he can't. So they spend those months trying to find each other, even though Jack is back in California, and they've pretty much given up. Well, then NASA is wanting to do this like art fellowship in Jack's department. So he's like, I saw this really cool work of art when I was in New York by this girl, Red String Girl. You remember who I said Red String Girl was? So Red String Girl's best friend slash assistant accepts the job for her, and Rooney shows up to Jack. So that fate, does she, though? It's very cute. Very cute. I would classify it kind of as a second chance romance because they had their little fling. So
definitely.
Lauren Kung Justin is like a master wizard at descriptive language. It's awesome and infuriating because you will starve. I had food and I still, it's never going to be the right food. I need to, her next book, I just need her to tell us exactly what they are eating, including like what meat, what broth, what seasoning, so that I can eat exactly what they are eating.
It needs to be like a Once Upon a Book Club box, but with food.
Yeah.
I need her to send me a care package.
A DoorDash
food
order. Yeah.
Whatever it is. Yeah. I need a care package that has the exact foods so that I can read. And it's like, open this food package and eat that while you're reading.
The very least, instead of trigger warnings at the beginning, I want like, go ahead and cook this. Here's the recipe. Go ahead and cook this and then sit down.
Yeah.
With your food and this book, sit down. Okay. I did the audiobook, and something cool that I haven't personally experienced in an audiobook before is it had two narrators. So there was a man narrating for Jack and a woman narrating for Rooney. But in Rooney's chapter, when Rooney speaks to Jack, the male narrator says his line for him.
Oh.
It's really fun. I've never
had that in an audiobook. A call and response kind of thing. Because normally the female narrator would just change the voice male part.
She would be like, he looks up at me, I really love these dumplings. And he says, I really love these dumplings. And then she'd say, he said.
Oh my
gosh. So she
gosh.
Says everything but his quote. It is, you've got to get the audiobook. It is so cool.
I love that. I have it. I pre-ordered it.
Yeah.
So I haven't. I just haven't listened to it because I read the physical book.
And I was so dumb that it took me halfway through the book to be like, wait, this is so cool.
Oh, I love that.
That was like a really fun thing. Yeah. I really want to see it in more books now.
Yeah.
Because
that is so cool.
I'm sure it wasn't easy.
Oh, yeah.
Because
they record things separately. Though I think Hachette has their own studio that they have people. I mean, I know for like All the Right Notes, Aaron recorded at Hachette. But he was also already in New York, so
yeah.
But
well,
I was
thinking, even if they're recording together, mm-hmm. it's hard to. I have to stop here. He has to mm-hmm. say these words, and then I have to immediately pick up the flow with he chuckled,
yeah.
or you know, he like it had to either be really hard to record or really hard to edit.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
But it was really like I think it was worth it. Like it was a really
so
good experience.
Cool. I cannot wait to listen to the audio because I have it. And I need dumplings first.
Yes, you do. So then I finished Infinity Alchemist by Kacen Callender. I can't really tell you much more because spoilers, but there's some drama with Ramsay. A new character was introduced, Callum, who is Ramsay's ex. But is he though? Mm-hmm. So it mentions on the cover that there is a polyamorous relationship and polyamorous representation. And it was a Kacen Callender book. I mean, what more do I have to say? It was wonderful.
Wait.
Such a good fantasy debut. I cannot wait for more from Kacen. Like, I cannot wait for more.
Yeah, Goodreads says that's a book one.
So I will say more, like it ends in a way where it could be a standalone if it wanted to be, or it could be more, which I like. I love that. It doesn't, it's not a desperate and dire cliffhanger. Like it's a very beautiful ending, but there is a door that's open.
Oh, I love that.
If Kacen wants it to be, and if the characters want it to be. So yeah. And then last, I started it in October. I only read like a chapter or two, and then I got Ruthless Vows and then Holidays and all of that. So I haven't picked it back up, but I've been reading Fear the Flames by Olivia Rose Darling. So we have Eloin. She's Princess of Imeray. I'm going to mispronounce half the things in this, so just be prepared. So when she's born with a link to 5 dragons. So her kingdom should be like, oh my God, we have the mother of dragons. We've got a Khaleesi on our hands. But there's more jealousy than anything. They literally, like, her mother allows her to be, like, shackled up and dropped in a dungeon and beaten, and that's her childhood. One thing I like, I have to read this from Goodreads, because it's just, like, it says the little girl in shackles became a knife-wielding woman with a thirst for retaliation.
Oof, I love that.
Love it. So she gets out, she escapes, and she flees to this place called Estillion, which she's now the queen of. It's a secret kingdom that she kind of forged herself, you know? And so, unfortunately, the land there is not ideal. So her people are starving, and she's trying to find ways to feed them. And the population keeps growing. People keep joining. So she's forced into a, like, kind of agreement deal with the commander of Verveth, Caden Veles. He's like her father. Veles of Verveth is his last name. So Verveth is her father's, like, greatest enemy. Mm. And so she's like, okay, well, this is another FU to, you know, my family.
Yeah.
So in exchange for her help to defeat her father, Caden is able to provide some form of, like, magical abilities to grow crops. Mm-hmm. And he's also going to try to help her get her dragons, because she does not have her dragons. She knows they're alive, but she doesn't know how to get to them. They're, like, locked away by her father. So she has to take it, because, like, it's her dream to overthrow her parents. So it's a lot of forced proximity. A lot of, he calls her Angel. Oh. And I already know, like, he's gone.
Yeah.
He's gone for her, and she's just kind of oblivious to it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're having to try, and, like, they got to work together to infiltrate her father's kingdom. I'm still maybe, like, a third of the way through, because it's one that I pick up when I don't have something, like, I have to be reading for the mm-hmm. podcast, or, like, oh, I have to finish this before this day. But I'm enjoying it so far. It took me a minute. The first few chapters, I was like, these are so long. This is a lot. But now that I'm more in it, I'm glad that I've stuck with it. So, yeah. And then what, like, one more line that I just love: vengeance is a promise signed in blood.
Woo! Love it.
Woo! And then I watched the latest episode of Percy Jackson, which is no notes.
Absolutely
perfect.
None.
It is the most perfect, like, adaptation. If I could have dreamed it up myself, it couldn't have been any better.
It's so wonderful. It's so good.
It's so good. Freaking good.
Ugh, if you're not watching Percy Jackson, go watch Percy Jackson. It's so
finish
good.
This episode and then go turn
binge
on Disney,
like,
Plus.
There's, like, 6 episodes out right now.
It's,
binge it.
And they go by so fast. Every time it's over, I'm like,
every time it ends, I turn to my daughter and I'm like, they're so short. And she's mm-hmm. like, well, that's just how they are. I'm like, I don't care.
Doesn't matter. It's not fair. I want more.
It's not enough.
Yeah. So good. What did you do this week?
Okay. I read Pride and Puppies by Lizzie Shane.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so good. It is book 4 of the Pine Hollow series, which is set in small town Pine Hollow, Vermont. Charlotte is swearing off dating and focusing all of her energy on her brand new puppy, Bingley, which is absolutely terrible news for her neighbor, friend, and coworker, George, because he's basically been crushing on her since he moved to town. But then the unthinkable happens. Charlotte starts developing feelings.
Oh no, cursed feelings.
Right as George announces he's considering moving back to Colorado. Has she left George in the friend zone so long that she risks losing him forever? I don't know, read the book.
I mean. It has a cartoon cover.
It's great. I and really puppies. Liked it. There is a scene that I texted you about, and I was like, both George and Charlotte have dogs. George's dog gets sick and he has to be rushed to the emergency vet. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, I know the dog's fine because Mandy read this book.
Yeah.
But I was like so anxious. So just FYI.
Yeah.
Dog gets sick, but the dog
read
is
it,
fine.
If I
the dog's
read it
fine.
And recommend it, if it's on red on my Goodreads and it's not like Where the Red Fern Grows when I was in the 4th grade. The dog's fine, because I will stop reading. And I want to say I reached out to Lizzie Shane and I was like, hey, hi, before I do this, I need you to tell me the dog's okay. Most authors, because I've done that a lot.
Yeah.
Most authors will be like, I would never.
Right.
I think I am a monster.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. This
so
book is safe.
I was there. I was like so anxious, and I remembered. I was like, Mandy's read this book all mm-hmm. the way through.
Yep.
The dog's fine.
The dog's so, going to be okay.
I was like, I'm like, okay, I can calm down a little bit. It's going to be okay. So That's the first thing I read. I read Coconut Drop Dead by Olivia Matthews. This is book three of the Spice Isle Bakery Mysteries series.
Okay.
Following Lindsay Murray, who is a bakery owner and amateur detective. After, in book one, she was accused of murder. In book two, her mother was accused of murder. So in book three, we're hoping nobody else is getting accused of murder. What does happen is Lindsay and her family bakery, Spice Isle, is one of the vendors at Brooklyn's annual Caribbean American Heritage Festival. And they're all very excited because they've just opened. They've had all these like issues with being accused of murder in like the past couple months since they opened.
That'll put a damper on business.
Yeah. But their community is really great. Their customers are really great. And they're like, obviously they didn't murder anybody. So they've always been on their side, but this is like bigger exposure for them. So they're very excited. The event is going amazing. Everybody's having a good time. People are saying this is the best like year that it's been. But then the festivities get cut short when Camille, who is the lead singer of an up and coming local band, is found dead.
Scared.
Bottom of a set of stairs.
Camille. Oh no.
The police believe that it's a tragic accident, but Lindsay's cousin Manny, who is very close to Camille, believes that there was foul play involved. Because Camille, when the body is found, is on her back. She tripped down the stairs. She's not going to be on her back.
Yeah.
So
no back.
Now Lindsay is getting sucked into yet another murder investigation because...
Lindsay, I feel like you might be a magnet. You're a murder magnet.
She, you know, unwittingly has become a murder mystery investigator person, and it's quite hilarious, but it's a good time. There is also lots of food in this, obviously, because they own a bakery.
I know.
It's, and it makes me, it desperately makes me want to like, is Little Caribbean in Brooklyn a real place? Because I want to go to there. So if you're from Brooklyn.
If it's not, it should be.
If it's not, it should be. But if you are somebody who lives in Brooklyn and can tell me if Little Caribbean exists, please let me know so that I can come visit.
If not, just come visit me because we have a really, really good Cuban restaurant here that I might have to have soon. Now that you mentioned because I can't function too long without it.
I accept this. Next up, I read Something Wild and Wonderful by Anita Kelly. We've got Alexi, who has recently come out to his super conservative family as gay. And as you can imagine, he basically gets disowned by his parents.
They're so wild.
And at the same time that this happens, he also loses his job. Unrelated incidents. It just was really bad timing.
Being a biatch for that one.
But since he's now got some free time on his hands and not really, you know, any reason to stick around, he decides that he is going to hike the famous Pacific Crest Trail, which goes from Mexico all the way up to Canada. So it's quite a big deal so that he can kind of figure out what he wants to do with his life. He's considering making a big move across country because, again, he doesn't really have a reason to stay. So he's trying to have this like solitary thinking hike by himself. It's a very long hike. But he's gonna do it. But he meets Ben along the way, and Ben is very friendly extrovert who kind of Ben and Alexi are the epitome of how do introverts make friends and extrovert adopts them. This is exactly what happens.
Yeah.
And so they end up hiking together for quite a while. They get closer and closer, and Alexi is starting to kind of, you know, let his walls down and feelings develop.
No.
I know, shocking. And then Ben breaks the news to Alexi that he actually has to take a break from the trail to go home for family stuff. It's a good reason. And he actually invites Alexi with him. And so Alexi gets to kind of see what a healthy family relationship looks like and what a healthy found family is. And he starts like thinking, is this something that I can have? But in a cruel twist of fate, plans get changed and Alexi ends up returning to the trail by himself.
Oh.
For reasons that is nobody's fault but anxiety and, you know, like just internal things, because Alexi was never loved properly, obviously.
So he doesn't know how to be loved.
No, he doesn't know how to be loved. So it is a romance and it is wonderful and amazing, and it also obviously deals with heavy topics, but it is so well done. Anita Kelly is masterful at this kind of writing. reading. They are so good. Their other book, Love and Other Disasters, also a queer romance and dealt with, you know, it was a fun, like they were in a baking competition, but also heavier topics.
Yeah.
And if you have read Love and Other Disasters, you will have some fun cameos in Something Wild and Wonderful that I was very excited about. It was very cool. So I highly recommend it. This is a spicy book. There are spicy scenes with dear Alexi and Ben, and I love them. I love the two of them together. So I highly recommend it. Anita Kelly is a fantastic author. And I read Red Queen and Cruel Crown by Victoria Aveyard. I have not started book two yet. I'd say book two, even though I've read two books, because Cruel Crown is like a little novella set.
Yeah.
Two little short stories that come after Red Queen, but before, what is it? Glass Sword? Is that what it is? Book yes. two. They're technically prequel novellas, but you know how I am about reading things in pub order. So
yep.
I've read them. And plus, it was like, I don't know, like 2 hours on audio. And that's about how much time I had left at work. So I was like,
this is perfect.
Perfect. So you've got fantasy world where there are the silvers and the reds. And the silvers have silver blood. They also have certain abilities. The reds have red blood. They don't. Except for Mare, who discovers that she also has abilities. And in a very public way, in which the king and queen are not able to just get rid of her because it will cause questions. And so they have to pretend that she is a long lost daughter of some war army person, general person who was killed in battle. And she was raised as a red, but now she's returned to claim her silver heritage. And she is going to marry their younger son. And things happen, you know, and it's a good time. And I'm ready for the next book.
Little lightning girl. Tell the people how you offended me.
I like them both. I don't know. I'm not picking.
Hated Cal.
I love them both. Cal.
I don't know why, but from the start, I was like, ugh.
I have thoughts that I will not say because I haven't finished the series. And if anybody hasn't read it, then they could be considered spoilery. But I have thoughts, and I'm excited to see if where...
You're going to have to tell me those thoughts offline.
Where I'm going is similar to where... Or is what happens, but...
I'm telling you, that one line I said I talked to you about last night, I nearly died.
I have thoughts, so we'll see. We'll see where it goes. But I'm
glad you're doing it.
It's, you know, sometimes when the Libby gods say that you can, then you can.
And just do it.
Red Queen had, of my like 10 library cards, Red Queen had one available copy for immediate borrowing. So it was a sign. And of course, as soon as I started listening to that, I was like, well, I'm not stopping anytime soon. Let me go ahead and borrow all the rest of these just in case.
Yeah.
So I am prepared for a Red Queen binge-a-thon this weekend. We'll probably talk about it next week because I got seven whole days to read 3.5 books.
I reread it not too long ago, maybe like a year and a half or 2 years ago. I did a little reread because I hadn't read it in a long time and I just missed Maven. That's why I want to reread Throne of Glass. I miss Dorian.
So that's what I read this week. What?
Oh no, if you have more to say, I just thought of something else, but we don't have to talk about it right yet.
I just have one thing, and it's that I watched Saltburn with Beth for movie night.
Yeah. I don't have the stomach for it. I'm scared.
I feel traumatized. I feel
that's what I keep hearing, and I don't want to do it.
I
heard about one scene in particular that seemed like a lot.
Yeah.
This seemed like a whole lot.
I
warned my husband without warning him. I was like, it's a movie you would watch.
It is a whole lot. And yeah. I know you don't have to say literally.
You know exactly
anything.
What I'm talking about. I'm like,
Yeah, it is a lot of movie. It is a movie that I watched. A brief summary is you've got Barry Keoghan, who is on scholarship at Oxford, and you've got Jacob Elordi, who is the rich kid that everybody wants to be friends with. And Barry Keoghan makes friends with Jacob Elordi, and he he gets a phone call from his mom saying that his dad has passed away, and he's super upset about it. And Jacob Elordi is like, why don't you come home with me during the break? Because Barry Keoghan wasn't going to go home for the break because he didn't want to be around that. And so, and I'm saying their actor names because I cannot tell you what their character names are. I don't know. I can't remember. I've blocked it out. But so Jacob Elordi invites Barry Keoghan back to his home, Saltburn. It's like this big, huge mansion. Yeah. It's intense. And so they're spending, you know, their like break at Saltburn, and just things happen, and things happen.
Your face is killing me.
And things happen.
I'm so concerned.
And then more things happen. And
I've just decided it's not for me. I just don't. No, I don't want to. I don't want to.
You don't.
You're like, I don't want to either.
You don't have to. I did it for us.
I saw the funniest. I don't remember if it was like on Instagram or TikTok or whatever, but somebody was like, Barry Keoghan is at his best when he's waiting for Harry Styles to show up in a movie, because he was in Dunkirk and he was in Eternals, and both of those Harry Styles show up.
I died. Listen, Barry Keoghan was excellent in this movie.
Oh, sure. He's great.
But this movie,
I don't want to watch it. I'm scared. It's not a scary movie. Like,
it's not
I don't
a
want
scary
anybody
movie.
To think that.
It is just there's just a lot of like there's a lot of weird shit that happens, and
makes
things
you wonder
that you
about
just,
the writers, where you're like, what?
I just
happened
question.
To you?
You know that sound? You can't always eat at other people's houses.
Yeah.
You can't eat at everybody's house. Like, that's the vibe. That's the vibe.
Yeah.
That's the vibe. It has nothing to do with actual food, but that's the vibe.
You just don't ever know what goes on in people's houses, because it could be some crazy stuff. It's on Google. If you want to know, but you don't want to watch, just Google, like, what's the most traumatizing thing on Saltburn?
Yeah, there was, I watched it, like I said, with movie night with Beth. So we were on the phone with each other as we were watching. And the amount of screaming that we did at each other was insane. It was, So take that as you will.
Not for me.
You have been given as much information as I am comfortable saying.
I would never say it out loud. I'm too embarrassed. I couldn't even say it to my husband. Okay. I was just like, it seems like a movie you would watch. I want you to know there are things that would be kind of traumatizing for you to watch. Do with that what you may.
Yep.
Woo, I'm embarrassed. Yep.
So that was my week.
The thing I was gonna say earlier is that I was vindicated today.
Oh yes.
I was vindicated on Beyonce's internet when Sarah J. Maas revamped her website and added a frequently asked questions section, in which she says, do you have a preferred Throne of Glass reading order? And she said, why, yes, I'm so glad you asked. And it starts with Throne of Glass. It does not start with Assassin's Blade. It does not.
I would like to point out that on the TikTok video that you made, somebody commented, I just read it in publication date order because I figured that they were released that way for a reason. And I personally feel vindicated now. Thank you. Because that is exactly the order that I will be reading it in.
So people like call publication order putting the prequel in front of it. It's like they make up dates that aren't real. They're not real.
No.
And then I don't know. Because for years now, people have said, well, Sarah J. Maas says that you have to read Assassin's Blade. Where did she say that?
Where? You made the
point. Point to it. Is it in the room with us? Because her website now says, and a friend of ours, because I posted like jokingly about it on Facebook, and a friend of ours commented and was like, it's already started. They're like picketing. Why did you change your stance? Why did you change? Okay, first of all, people do change, but I never
Show me where.
I never saw publicly where she said to start with Assassin's Blade. Yes, chronologically in the story, it's first, but you need the first couple of books in your system before you read Assassin's Blade. I will die on this hill. And so I was so vindicated today. I felt like Uncle Vernon. Justice. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
And people were like, well, why does it come first in the box that? I don't know. Move it around. Fix it. Just... put it in the right order. My niece got Serpent and Dove. One of them in the box set was upside down. Does that mean you read the book upside down?
Yes, of course. Obviously.
Fix it. Just fix it.
What the hell?
Never,
people are weird.
Never start with Assassin's Blade. Don't be
people
weird.
People are weird.
Yeah.
That's the, like that. I can't even imagine. Like, imagine starting the MCU with Captain America, the First Avenger. I can't.
Right. No.
I can't. I can't. Mm-hmm. I can't. Listen, I haven't even read the Throne of Glass series yet. And I know.
Oh, it's because like, I've screamed at you so much.
But even if you hadn't, but even if you hadn't, I would have read it in publication order. That's yeah. Exactly. Like, nobody told me how to read Adrienne Young's books. I binged her entire backlist in like a week. And I went in publication order. Is Saint the first book in the series technically, like chronologically? Yeah. But is that the first
you
one you read?
No. Saint first?
That's right?
Psychopath stuff.
Absolutely not. Okay, tangent.
Yeah, sorry. I just got vindicated and I need the world to know about
it's fine.
It. Okay.
That's who we are as people.
Do you have a fictional boyfriend this week?
It's Kalorn.
Of course it is.
It's Kalorn.
Is wonderful.
Kalorn. I can't. Like, who else am I going to pick? It's Kalorn forever and always.
Nobody.
That's
I know.
It's it's so funny because it's like with Shatter Me, you are all Aaron, right? And I was like
forever.
It's Kenji. Give me Kenji.
I know you and Brandy both. Brandy is a Kenji girly too.
Give me my sweet Kenji. And now it's like I'm it's Kalorn. It's Kalorn.
You know, I talk about like my love sickness for the boy from home. Like,
I don't care about anybody else.
Kalorn.
Like, I don't care about anybody else in this book. I just want more Kalorn.
Yeah.
My baby. That is my love fictional him. Boyfriend. Thank you. Your turn.
My name is Noah Calhoun. Hello. I watched The Notebook with Ryan Gosling, okay? And as it, like, I have to, she's going to kill me for saying that, but I have to, like, I had to laugh because one of the twins are 14, right? They'll be 15 next month, but they're 14. And they were like, one of them was like, well, at least Ryan Gosling is in this and that man is so fine. Do not cite the deep magic to me, witch. I was there when it was written, okay? Mm-hmm. I was loving this man before you were born. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad they got eyes that function, though, like, because, yeah, that man is so fine. And I kept saying, just wait till you see him with the beard, okay? Mm. Like right now he's young and clean, fresh face. Wait till that man shows up with a beard and that longish hair.
That sound means we have an intruder alert.
It's a repeat offender intruder.
Yes, it is. You'll remember from last year from Lunar Love.
Oh, I should have grabbed Lunar Love.
This year, we have Red String Theory by our good friend, Lauren Kung Jessen. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hello. Thank you for having me back.
I have an audiobook. I should have pulled it up on my phone. I listen on audio.
Okay. So before we brag about the audio, because we had a whole conversation about that just earlier, give us the quick elevator pitch for Red String Theory for anybody who hasn't heard about it.
Sure. It Red String Theory is about an artist who believes in the red thread of fate. And she meets a man who is a NASA systems engineer. And they spend a magical night together in New York City before being lost to each other, only to, by fate or other circumstance, be brought back together.
Yes.
It was so cute.
So cute. So good. Have you listened to the audiobook yet?
So I am making my way through it. I don't get it ahead of time. So I listen to it when it goes live on the pub date. So I'm making my way through it. And I did hear samples. So I got to choose the narrators and they were like amazing in the samples. So, and I've only heard great things. So I'm really excited.
Yeah. I was screaming at Karen earlier when we were recording, talking about it. I love how like when Jack said, says something, the even if it's in a Rooney chapter, he says it in his voice. Mm-hmm. So like his quotes are in his voice, and if it's a Jack chapter but she says something, it's in the female voice. I've never experienced that in an audiobook before, and I thought it was so cool.
Very cool. That was a decision that was made. So during the process, it was like, do we want to have them read each chapter and like Rooney will read all of it and Jack will read all of his, or you like they splice it together? And I was like, oh, that sounds really cool, like let's do that. And I had listened to different examples, so that seems like a lot of hard work to do.
That's what I said. Yeah,
yeah, but that's hard.
Mandy, I haven't listened to it yet because I had just physically read it before everything came out. So I have it. It's on my Audible and I'm ready. But like Mandy was saying, how cool it is. Like, that doesn't happen in audiobooks. I've never listened to that in an audiobook. So that is so cool. And I love excited. That you got to be a part of it too. Like, that
That's something I've never really thought about. But what is that process like of like knowing your book is going to get an audiobook? Like, what is your obviously, other than writing the book, what is your role in like the making of the audiobook?
For this time around, I worked with two different people. For this one, I got to have a little bit more say in the music that's played in the book. So there were a bunch of samples sent and I got to listen to each one and kind of like feel the vibes out. And I got to listen to different samples for both Bruni and Jack. And then I also sent a pronunciation guide. So there's like various names in the book and some Chinese words. So I like recorded that and like sent that in. So it was all more accurate and it was tough. There were some amazing samples that I had heard and I was just really excited by the ones that ended up being Rooney and Jack.
Oh, that is so cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Never thought of before.
I'm so excited to listen to the audiobook. Like,
I'm excited for you to listen to it. You're really going to like it.
Like, I'm obviously so excited too. I just am like, it's hard to listen to it when it's yours. Like, I think it's hard.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you're just like, kind of like, you want to enjoy the experience, but you're also nervous. But I think this is one's going to be really special.
Yeah. Don't be nervous because I loved it. It's awesome.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
I have no doubt. It's just, it's a me thing.
Yeah.
So obviously this book stems from this Chinese myth of the Red Thread of Fate. What inspired you to kind of dive into this direction, especially when you're pitting fate versus just like coincidence?
Yes, it's a little bit, my thought was really special about it is that there is that trope, fated mates, soulmates, and this one is so particular to this myth and this legend in Chinese culture. And it is a myth that actually takes on different forms in various Asian cultures. And so I learned about it a couple of years ago on the Lantern Festival, like the night of. I was like, what is the night all about? We were just kind of lounging around and we had just celebrated Lunar New Year. So Lantern Festival happens 2 weeks after the Lunar New Year. And it's a time to like release lanterns with your wishes, eat Tang Yuan, like just like celebrate again kind of after 2 weeks, which is really, I think, fun. And I had no idea really what it was. And then I read about it and learned about the Red Thread of Fate and was like, oh, that's so beautiful. But because I root belief systems, myths in reality, I was like, that feels a little bit magical, kind of with like this invisible red string. And so that challenge for me was, it's too beautiful to like not do something with it. And how do I ground that in reality? So I thought it would be fun to have this artist who literally like kind of like manifests this belief with red string. Like I literally took this invisible thing and made it tangible.
Yeah.
And like on a really big scale, because I love like giant installation art. I have been so moved by Christo and Jean-Claude, their work. They were this husband and wife artists and they created, they wrapped islands. They created something called the Gates in New York City, Central Park. They had 7,000 gates. They're called the Gates. Orange, saffron colored. They look like Japanese torii gates in a way. And they just lined the parkway. So like you could just walk through Central Park and it was these bright orange gates against the stark gray February New York City winter.
Oh my gosh.
They wrapped fictitiously. They were wrapping the Arc de Triomphe when I was drafting this book and they hadn't done anything, I don't think, in a while. And they wrapped it in like the silvery blue cloth with red string, like red rope. And I was like, get me to Paris. I need to see this with my own eyes. I didn't get a chance to go see it, sadly, but I thought it was so fictitious that they were doing something else with red rope while I was like being inspired literally by them. So I put her, Rooney, against Jack, who's a little bit more practical. I wanted to make him a NASA systems engineer because I feel like we so often see, like when we talk about space, we so often see astronauts and kind of like more flashy jobs that are, they're a little bit more celebrities. And I think a lot of the time the heroes and the hard workers are the ones that we don't really hear about. So like systems engineers, the ones working on like satellites and the ones keeping an eye on asteroids heading toward Earth, all of those jobs that are so important. And they are a cool job because they're like the producer of a mission, which is like awesome. And then I want it to be a Mars mission because Red had to. So that's kind of how that all came together.
Karen had an interesting fictitious situation today when she posted our teaser with you.
I messaged her. I was like, I was about to post like our little teaser, the be like our guest announcement's coming on Monday. And right after I had sent like the draft to Mandy for not approval, but like I like her to proofread my stuff just in case.
Yeah.
Right after I sent it to her, I put it into Instagram and my Spotify started playing Invisible String by Taylor Swift. And I was like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Rooney would say, fate. And Jack would say, you're being monitored by the algorithm.
I love how both of their personalities are so like just complete opposite. He is like literal and facts and analyses. And she is like, nope,
she's so fake,
man.
I love
it. Yeah, she's dreamy and I love her. I also loved how there were like almost, I don't want to say like anti-stereotypes, but like there are things that so many people would expect that weren't there. Like you have this common stereotype of like the Asian mother who has to be overbearing and telling you what you have to do all the time. Her mom did. I mean, her mom kind of like got on her case when she needed to, but her mom was like, I'm going to be traveling.
Yeah.
I'm going to be doing this. I sold your birth video to, you know, a bidder. And like at one point it talks about how Rooney and her mom were learning Chinese, you know, where in a lot of characters, it's like, no, we were forced to learn it as children. We grew up, you know, speaking it. So it was cool to see like characters that didn't fit this mold that like society has made where you feel like this is what has to be, or this is what you should expect. So it was cool that, you know, to see something different.
Thank
where
you.
She's like, I'm
that.
Learning a language. I'm learning the, you know, more about my heritage now that I didn't know before.
Yes. So that's cool. Thank you. I appreciate that. I do appreciate that because yes, with like the parental pressures and things, and that's there a little bit, but Ren is such a character that
I loved her.
I had to like tone her down even like in the dress. So she was a lot, which was really fun to write. It was like, so I don't know where that came from. It just was kind of like, not, it's not me at all. And I found that like when I was rereading multiple times was like, Rooney is a certain way with her mom and then she's a certain way with Jack. And like with her mom, she's a little bit more like, oh, can I do this? I really want to be all these things and I want to do this. And with Jack, she's like super like, woo, like I feel like I wish I were more, I want to be Rooney, because she just kind of says what she wants to say and she calls it out. And she's just kind of like this fun person who just has all these like dreams and ideas. And with the language thing, which was like such a like moment, like blip of a moment in the book. So I love that you caught that, is like directly pulled from like my experience in a way. And this is where I think it's really important to show like mixed experiences, because like my mom moved from Taiwan when she was in elementary school. And so she can speak Chinese, but like, even she's like, yeah, I need like conversational, but she would still need to like look up more like intense words or sentence structures and things. So while she can talk to her family and it's like, it rolls off the tongue, we've definitely have conversations around like, let's practice together and let's like keep learning. I mean, for me, it's like a joke. So every year, every January, I'm like, this is the year. I don't need to become fluent even, right? Like, why is that the baseline?
Right.
Why is becoming fluent like the end goal? Why couldn't the goal just be, I want to be conversational or like just get by?
I love that. I love that you said that. Because I do the same thing. I took 3 years of French in high school and I'm like, I'm going to be fluent. And I do the same thing. This year is the year I'm going to get out the Rosetta Stone and be fluent. Why do I need to be? Like, why can't I just like, I could be conversational and just say like, yeah, I could speak French.
Yeah. Right. Like, yes.
Just, what's that pressure and why? Where did that come from?
Yeah.
Where did that
why
come
do we
from?
Do
why
that
all
to
or
ourselves?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Oh, I love that so much.
I do.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
I was just going to keep going about the stereotype, because I have seen that. I don't look at reviews anymore. This time a year ago, I read reviews and I was a total like, yeah, I read team review reading. And now I'm like, I don't. And that was such a hard hurdle to get over, mostly with the help of my husband, who was like, I don't think you should be reading reviews anymore.
Yeah.
And there was one friend about Lunar Love that I was like, it was either like a death by a thousand cuts situation, or I was like, that it was like, it was hard and felt very personal, but it was also kind of mean. And I was just like, I think that's maybe the last paper cut. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't, the only reviews I ever see are when I'm tagged or when my husband sends me the nice ones. But aww, there was one about like Rooney not being like a stereotypical artist where she's like eccentric and
yeah,
has to be like so far eccentric, and how we see sometimes like media portrayals of artists, and she has that kind of like whimsy with fate, but she's also very like driven and ambitious, mm-hmm, and she has her goals. So I do think it's fun when books like twist and subvert stereotypes and what we expect people to be, because we are
right,
a science phrase is we contain multitudes. So
we do, though.
So true. Ooh,
yes.
And like you said, with her being one person with her mom and one person with Jack, like everybody is like, I'm one person with my husband, I'm one person with my nieces, with my mom, with every person in your life has a different version of you.
Absolutely.
And so that's interesting to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love Talia too. Isn't that her bestie's name?
Yep, that's her bestie's okay name.
I love how she answers the phone and she's like, oh yeah, I'm the assistant. What did you need? Mom's her other assistant. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. Don't worry. She's that too. She's that and high demand.
I wish like that people could read the messages that I sent to you while I was reading Red String Theory.
Oh my God, I know.
It was so unhinged.
It's so fun. It's so fun.
I was like, I was reading and every time something would like happen, I just like immediately pick up my phone and start texting. I'm like, and there were so many things. Like I love, one of my favorite scenes is when they are in Times Square looking at like souvenirs and her name is never on anything. Can relate.
Totally. You can relate.
It was one of my favorite things. And I think I told you that. I'm like, I also could never find my name on any of these license plates or anything. And then I like threw out all these wacky predictions as to like, there's a moment here that's going to come back. I just know it.
Yeah.
There were a few people reached out being like, oh my God, I relate so hard to this license plate thing. And I was like, or the keychain. And I was like, that is so funny. Like, that's so funny.
It's such a little thing that you don't think about, especially when you have a name that is like normal spelling. Like you don't think mm-hmm about it. But then once it's pointed out, you're like, oh yeah, there are like a bunch of people who are excluded from this.
I didn't think about it until
yeah,
I didn't think about it until my niece. I have a niece whose mm-hmm name is a unique name. And so now every time I look, I'm like, it's not going to be here, but I'm going to look for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you have to look. You're always like, yeah, maybe.
This is going to be one time.
The one time I told Lauren this, the one time I found my name spelled correctly, I was in China.
That is so wild.
It's crazy because apparently like the spelling of my name is German. And so I'm like, wait, I don't know. But wild. Yeah. I always joke that my parents didn't find out gender like when my mom was pregnant with me. So they were, because I'm the firstborn, they were like, oh, it's going to be a boy, because that's what Chinese people do. We just have boys. And so they named me Kevin. And I always joke that they got lazy halfway through and just were like, that's close enough.
Flip some letters that's around. Yeah. Enough.
Oh my God, that's so close.
Wrote Kevin and cursive really fast.
Yeah. Every now and then when I write my name, because if you don't curve the R enough, it looks like a V. People think it's Kevin when they read it. And I'm like, almost. That was almost
me. Could have been.
Well, Kevin over here had a really good idea for your next book.
Yes.
Listen, hear us out, okay?
Okay.
We know you're going to talk about food and we know you're going to make us hungry. Why not make it like a HelloFresh box where your book comes with all of the ingredients for the food they're going to eat,
certain
and
recipes.
You make it so you can sit down and eat.
I would like
what
to
they're
volunteer
eating.
This should be like the PR box for like pre-release, like when you send out
or
arcs
like recipes at the beginning so that we know what, because no amount of snacks were going to be enough because I wasn't eating what they were.
True.
Okay, I need
pitch
to know
it.
The broth
style
and
yeah,
the meat
that's
and all
exactly
of it. I
need
to know
need to
exactly
do
what they're eating. I need to smell what they're eating. I need to taste it. I need
a
it.
Content warning.
That's what I said.
The following foods.
Instead of like triggers, it's these are the foods that we're going to be talked about.
Instead of trigger warnings, just put these food are the warnings. Recipes. Yeah. Go ahead and have these foods ready or you will regret it because your little chocolate bonbons aren't going to help you.
No.
Nobody wants your barbecue chips here.
Did you? So Lunar Love and Red String Theory both have recipes at the end. Did you create those? Did you find them and kind of tweak them and put them in there? Or what was that process? And also, can we move them to the front?
Right. So we'll work on that. Move it to the front. Noted. Yeah, those are my recipes. And so I do the illustrations and the recipes. And if there's a chart, so like Lunar Love had a zodiac chart, I illustrated them and created them. And it just kind of like, that's how I submitted the book, when the very first book. I had like the book, the manuscript, and then I had the recipes, I had the chart, I did do the little illustrations with it, with the zodiac, for instance. And they didn't say no. And then they ended up in there and I was like, awesome. So for this one, I was like, ooh, well, okay, I'll illustrate red bean ice cream. I'll illustrate the tea eggs. And then I did the little like sketches in the front of the book. Like I wanted Rooney's notebooks because I thought that would be fun.
Yes.
So I did that.
I love like these doodles. Like when I read it, it's in the arc. So when I opened it up and I like, that was the first thing I saw. I was like, look at your little doodle. Like, I love them so much. And then at the very end, there's more doodlies. And I'm just, I love it. All the doodles.
All the doodles. Yes. And then the little chapter headers too have like a lantern for Rooney and a satellite for Jack. Which is like a spacey lantern kind of. So that was fun that made it in there as well.
Yeah.
I love that so much. You get so much like creativity into your just one book. Like you think of a book and it's just like book, but then you also have all this other stuff. So cool.
It's fun. I'm glad they let me do it.
I just learned about it, but can you tell us about A Dash of Cinema? Because I'm so interested in this.
Yes. So I created A Dash of Cinema when I was in college. So I think it was 2011. And I was like walking around a park and I was like, oh, I really want to express myself. And I just need guardrails because I'm like, what else do I talk about? And I was like, well, I love food and I'm majoring in film. So I'll just put those two together. And then I was like, maybe I didn't have a kitchen. I was like in a dorm room. So I, for a long time, just kind of like pulled like ideas of like, oh, here's some food and movies. And then when I moved out and graduated, I started making the food that you see in film and TV shows. And so I like did a lot of recipe creation with that. And that was like a huge, huge part of my creativity and releasing that. And so I would watch a movie and like see either something that the characters were eating or something that was inspired. And I would make food inspired by it, take the photographs, do the editing, write up the little post, write up the recipe, do the social media and promote it. It's like a lot. Being a food blogger is a lot of work.
That's so cool though.
It's so fun. And I haven't been able to, obviously, like between work and writing, it's tough to find time to update it, but it's always in the back of my mind. I ran it for like 10 years until I had to just kind of like slow down a bit.
That's really cool.
It's really fun.
It seems like a fun like thing to chill out to, like, and a fun resource to go to as someone who's like, man, that dessert they were eating looked killer and I would die, but I don't know how to put a recipe together. So like having a source to go to that's like, oh, well, Lauren watched this and thought the same thing, but she knows what she's doing in a kitchen.
Yeah, it was a lot of work, but like I'm tired, like it was tiring for sure, but it was super, it was fun. It was really fun. A good creative outlet.
For sure.
Very nice.
What kind of research did you do to like, because there's a lot of, I don't want to say technical, but there's behind the scenes NASA stuff that is in here with, you know, the Artist in Residence program and Jack's job. What kind of research did you do for that?
I love this question because I did do a lot of research. So it's fun to be able to talk about it. I was living in Pasadena at the time when I came up with the idea and was researching, and I lived right near JPL, which is the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. And I was like, oh, that's such a cool place, which is why it was probably on my mind. There was a lot about moon missions and Mars at the a couple of years ago. And I was like, it was my neighborhood. So I was, it was definitely prominent. I had the Red Thread of Fate, Rooney, and her being a string artist. And then I was like, how do I pair that? Like, is she like, does she create something? Like, I didn't know how to pair the two. And then I Googled NASA and art. And that's how I learned about the artists in residence, which I thought was so fascinating. So 1962 started, and as this artist in residence with incredible artists like Norman Rockwell, Robert Rauschenberg, Andy Warhol, and it's just had some artists over time. And then Congress cut budget. So the last one was Laurie Anderson, and she did like a really cool like VR, like digital kind of installation. And it was a big way to communicate what they were doing to the taxpayers. And so what better way than with art? And there were a lot of like astronaut portraits commissioned. And I thought it was so cool. Like, I had never heard of it before, but there's a lot of information about it. So I was like, it has to be this. Like, we have to have an artist in residence. This is how they're going to come back together. I had to figure out how he would become involved in it, because like, why him?
Right.
So then I did a lot of research on that. I listened to podcasts. I was like, so what they did as the artists, they had full reign, like full access to NASA, which I'm like, that's amazing. They got to go to the launches. They got to like everything. And so I was like, okay, so she has to do some suit ups, and they get to go to like the Mars yard. And there's my favorite is the underwater scene at the buoyancy lab in Houston, which I think is so cool, and probably took some creative liberty with like, no one's going in under there unless you're like trained or, right, you know, an astronaut in training. And so when I was like, okay, this has to be a scene. How do I get them there? There's like podcasts about the divers who go under with the astronauts. They have a replica of the International Space Station in the pool. And so astronauts, before they go up into space, go down to the pool to use the tools in the suits and fix things on the International Space Station as though they were in space, weightless in gravity. And they have a team of divers kind of like moving them around so they can feel like buoyant and weightless, what it would really feel like. It's a way to test the tools. It's a way to, for the astronauts to get practice. They're down there for like 6 hours at a time. And I also read a lot of books. The first opening exhibit is on string theory. There's like touches of string theory and fate in there. So I did some learning about string theory. And then I also talked to systems engineers, because when you're talking about space and you're talking about NASA and the behind the scenes of it, I find those small details really, really important to feel real. And so when like, the questions were like the tiniest questions where I was like, I am so sorry to like have to even ask you this, but I have to know for like one piece of dialogue, like not even a chapter, just a passing comment, but I need to know. So like one of those instances was, is there an ice cream chest outside of mission control? And I had to validate it because I read it in one article, but I needed to have backup sources, and they do. So when people are working on missions very late into the night afterwards, they can go get ice cream from a chest, like a thing that they can just go do, and it's available for them. There's peanuts in mission control. I wrote this around the time of we were still in lockdown. So even though it was like 15 minutes away from me and I could have gone to do the tour had it been open, they had a virtual tour. So I spent a lot of time virtually wandering around the clean room, mission control, soaking in the details from the screen. So it was a really fun research process.
I love
it's
that.
It's funny you say that, because we were supposed to tour the Kennedy Space Center here and have lunch with an astronaut 2 weeks after COVID started. And they haven't brought back like the lunch with an astronaut. I don't know if they ever will. So we missed out on that. But it's funny that you say that, because we had the same experience because of lockdown. It's like, we can't go do that thing.
Yes.
I love how much attention you put to the details. It really shows, because like there's the scene where they're in like the clean room or wherever and he can't rip a paper because, and I never, like, that's not something that would ever occur to me. But like, it's in the book and I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. That
so many people would put the NASA engineer in a cubicle and just be like, he works at NASA. He's smart, guys. So like the thought, like somebody who works for NASA could read this book and be like, yeah, that's what work is like. Yeah, that's what we do.
Yeah, totally. Like, I would be like, can you use, can you take a notebook into the clean room? And this air shower, I thought was the most fun How cool. Like, I was like, why don't doctors use these things?
Right.
Right. Like, if you're being so careful, you're scrubbing in, you go into the air shower because God forbid we bring our life from Earth onto a space orbiter and bring it to Mars. I just thought it was like, it's such an attention to detail facility. Yeah. And the work is so important. Like, you have to be careful with what writing utensils you're using, ripping paper, just being covered head to toe, really being cognizant because, I mean, it's like multi-million-dollar equipment going up that the last thing you want is to like find life on Mars and be like, oh, it's Dave's skin.
Yeah. Or like, we're bringing it smallpox.
Right. Yeah.
We're going to kill Mars because our, you know, fabric eats their ecosystem.
I think that's part of the reason why I get so hungry reading your books, because of the little details.
Yeah.
Like, you describe
food. So descriptive.
And you know what? You're probably part of it is your background with you know, food. Your food background. Like, you know how to write about food, and it shows. And it's also very unfair because I'm always hungry.
Well, now you know.
So we have two questions that I know we probably asked you last year, but it's been a year, but we ask everyone. We have a segment called Fictional Boyfriend of the Week, where we state our fictional boyfriend, girlfriend. Karen's had a fictional granny. Do you have any fictional characters that you're like, that's my boo thing?
From just like books that I've read lately?
Yeah, whatever.
It doesn't have
whatever
to be.
Whatever pops like, into your mind.
Yeah. I just finished reading Float Plan by Trish Dollar. It came out of a few years ago. I think, I don't know if it was her first book, because she just had one come out called Off the Map in Ireland. Oh, and she
I've
it's
seen
this
that one.
Yes, you might recognize that cover. This one's yellow. There's a boat, a sailing boat. And so it's this woman who she just lost her fiance or her boyfriend, and she's grieving, and she just decides to go do the sailing plan that he had created. And she just like sets sail, leaves her life behind. And after a turbulent first night, she realizes she needs some help. So she puts out a notice for someone who can help her get to, I think she's going to like kind of like the Caribbean area. And this man named Keane from Ireland.
Already sold.
He helps her like get there. And I read it in a day, which I haven't done in such a long time. I just was so, it was so escapist. It was exactly what I needed and what I was looking for. I was like, I just want a book that will pull me in. I want to like totally different. I've never sailed before. So like there was a lot of like sailing terminology and sailing things, which didn't bother me because I was like, I felt like I was there on the boat with Anna and Keen, and they're just like, it was very good. So him probably would be my answer
right
now.
That's a good one.
Yeah. He helped her get there.
Yes.
Yay. That's so sweet.
I want to know about Yin Yang Love Song. Tell us about it. You just announced it. I want to know whatever you are allowed to tell us.
Yeah. I don't even know where to start because I haven't been talking about it because I'm literally like editing and writing and I'm like trying to figure it all out, which is so surreal to like announce something but still be working on it. And it was my second announcement, because the first one was when like Lunar Love went out, and that was kind of a two books. So Red String was kind of like bundled with that. So it was exciting this time around, and it was really sweet to have like people be excited for it. So Yin Yang Love Song is hopefully that will be the title. It's growing on me. It was not the title I wrote with, and so it's kind of newer to me, which I'm enjoying. But it really is this traditional Chinese medicine herbalist. She is a chef and acupuncturist. So there's food. For sure.
I'm already hungry.
I know. And it's been so interesting diving into the world of traditional Chinese medicine. I was inspired by, I had done acupuncture and like love it so much. And it's the idea of like, this is belief. It's this, like, it's not a belief system. It's not a myth. It's this very real form of medicine that goes back thousands and thousands of years. And it's just rooted in the idea that we are like one with the environment. And if we take care of the environment takes care of us, and we have yin yang, and that balances us. And so like yang is the heat and yin is the cold. And so I found that really interesting. And with, you know, food is medicine and food is so healing, and food, there's qi in traditional Chinese medicine, which is our life force, and food and what we eat and put in our bodies makes up most of that qi. So I found that to be very interesting. And what are we putting in our bodies? Like, I'm making like qi broth. Like, I've just like totally taken on, I drink flowers now. And so I just have kind of become like, I really become one with my characters. And he is a musician and they essentially like fake date to further their own careers in a sense to like help each other out. And it's, yeah, Electric Touch and Call It What You Want vibes so far.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited. I love it.
We've kept you way over, but we have one more question that we normally ask. And that is like, we know we love your books. We know that we want to tell everybody to read your books, but what would you tell other people to read? Like,
I know it's the hardest question.
What book? What are books? Have I ever read a book?
Exactly. I actually, well, because I just had time to kind of rest for a second, I did read a bunch. So Float Plan is one. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to explore Trish's entire backlist. The Predictable Heartbreaks of Imogen Finch by Jacqueline Firkins is
on my list.
Wonderful. She's such a beautiful writer. This one's a really fun premise of this woman who always comes second place. And her mom has these prophecies and she's like, you're always going to come second. And so in love and life and games and competitions, everything. And her childhood crush comes back into town and she is kind of like, it's a second chance romance in a way. So it's kind of like a fun play on seconds. And it's just a really, they're such tender hearted characters. It's beautifully written. It's that one I really, really enjoyed.
Okay. So I'm going to have to read that.
Yeah. What else? I am trying to do more reading off of my shelf this year. Mm-hmm. I bought a lot of books last year and have not had time to read them. So I'm like, now I need to read them.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure you both know very well.
Yes.
But there's still so many books coming out. So I'm excited for Wildlife by Ruby.
I'm sure I'm just going to look it up.
Google it.
But also, what else?
Google has been unhelpful. When I search Wildlife book by Ruby, it brings up the one and only Ruby and some children's books. So we'll just have to keep an eye out.
Okay, I'll send that one to you as well.
Yeah. Please.
Yes.
Yay. Okay. Well, we can't let you go without once again reminding you that now that you have been on the podcast, you are legally obligated to come back for all future book releases. So,
well, you're legally entitled to have me back.
Yes. Yes.
Wait, required. Just, let me hit one of these.
Hold on.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. There we go. So cool.
You did. You drank from your bottle and it did the thumbs up.
Yeah. It's just, I've been trying to like lean off camera, but
I felt very validating. Like, oh, okay.
You got thumbs up.
I wonder
up.
If it'll do two.
Nope. Oh, no.
Nope. Just one. Not even
oh
one.
Any- oh, not- there. Oh, there we go.
Oh my gosh. We have kept you so long.
So it's always so fun.
It's so fun.
I want to say I'm sorry, but I'm not.
I looked up sorry, and I was like, it's been an hour?
I can't believe that.
Where did time go? Like, I swear you just got here.
It did. I don't
We're
know
having too much fun.
Too much.
It's true. Like when you're having fun, time flies.
That's what they say.
Well, everybody,
thank you so much.
Go pick up Lauren's books. Look how pretty they look together.
They're so pretty together. I can't even.
And do they meet, guys? Do Liv and Rooney meet? Read them. Yeah. Read the books, and you'll find out. They're both out now.
Right.
Lunar Love. Oh, this one's Lunar Love. And Red String Theory. They're both out now. They're both amazing. Please, I beg of you, have food on hand while you are reading.
Have dumplings.
Dumplings are very important. Dumplings are very important.
Don't just have any food.
Yeah. I think dumplings are a requirement. And if you can get red bean ice cream, highly recommend that as well. I love red bean ice cream. Thank you,
Even
Lauren.
Just like the Asian snack mix, you know, with the like wasabi peas.
Oh my God, yes.
Yes. Flour crackers, I know.
If you have, I told Mandy this, if you have a dim sum restaurant that you can go to and just like sit and eat while you're reading, I think that's the best way to not be hungry while you're reading.
That's heaven.
Lauren's books. That's my official recommendation.
I love that. I love that, Breck.
Thank you
so much.
So much.
Thank you
this
both.
Has had so much
so
fun.
So much fun.
So fun.
And I'm so excited for the next one. It sounds amazing. These were great. Everybody, please go read them. And, you know, if you do, then maybe Lauren will keep writing for us.
Yes.
Because otherwise I'll be sad.
Making
what
us
hungry. I would love to.
I'm like, what? It's like my annual December tradition now is just to
it
read
is.
and like message you all my unhinged thoughts.
And I can't wait for next year's.
I'm so excited. Thank you.
Thank you both so much.
We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Oh,
I love her.
I love her so much. I feel bad that we drug her over so long, but
I know
I don't feel bad at the same time.
I looked up after what felt like 5 minutes and it had been half an hour. And I'm like, yeah. Oh no. And we're still
sorry, going. Listeners. This one's a little long.
We'll try to
make the spiel quick for you.
Yes, because the spiel is the part that is so long every time.
Well, no, I'm just saying we can try and do it fast because you're not tired of us yet. You love us.
We do have to give you an announcement for next week. We do have announcement.
We do.
We have another guest. I don't have it with me. It's over there.
I think I do.
Do you have it? Okay. We have a new to the podcast author who's coming to join us and also a debut author. It is Arden Joy, author of Keep This Off the Record, which I am told is a sapphic, Shakespeare? It's Shakespeare, right? Retelling? I can't remember. Let me look at the email. Give me like 2 seconds.
I don't remember.
It is sapphic Jewish enemies to lovers spin on Shakespeare classic. Yeah, I'm here for this.
What Shakespeare classic?
I don't know. It doesn't say. Much Ado About Nothing.
Okay, good.
I found it.
Gotcha.
And
I'm starting it this weekend.
Me too. I am so excited because one of the things that we were told was that Arden vulnerably mines from her personal experience of identifying as a late bloomer in the queer community. And as somebody who is also a late bloomer in the queer community, I'm so fucking excited to talk to Arden. I cannot wait. So that's what's going on next week. And we have so much more planned, y'all. Cannot wait to keep spilling the beans. And if you want to know earlier than everybody else, head over to Patreon, because
by the time you're hearing this, Patreon knows who we're talking about.
We're spilling the beans.
Or no, we're never mind. They know who we're talking about for next week. I mean,
timey-wimey stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. You know. Timey-wimey. It's and now, late here.
Yes, now okay. It's just time for a spiel. It is very spiel time. So if you enjoyed this episode, please like, follow, and subscribe wherever you are listening to us. Please also follow us on social media. We are at The Incoherent Fangirl on all the things. Visit our website, theincoherentfangirl.com, where you can also stream all of our episodes, as well as read our blog, which has so many book reviews. You can't get through them all.
Yeah, no.
Once again, if you want to have early access to episodes, you want video episodes, you want early sneak peeks at things, you want extra bonus clips of stuff that gets cut out of the episodes, head over to Patreon, theincoherentfangirl.com/Patreon to subscribe. And we also have a merch shop, which we just put up a very cool limited edition print. It is our Intruder Alert shirt, but on the back has a list of every single author and every single guest that we had, including the work that they did that we were talking to them for. So go check that out. It will be available.
We really need to post the back of it and like tag them all in it.
Absolutely.
So they can see, because if I was an author on a podcast and then they like had a shirt with my name on it, I would have to have one.
Yeah. I was waiting for this episode
to
officially exist before putting it out there, but it is on the website, theincoherentfangirl.com/shop. It is available through the end of March, and then we will be taking it down and we'll do another one for 2024, guys. And I got my sample today and it looks so good. I am obsessed with it. So go do that. So exciting. Plus all of the other super fucking cute stuff that we have on there. I love it all. If you have any comments, questions, concerns, suggestions, design ideas, you just want to tell us that we're pretty, we will accept all of that.
We'll allow it.
In our inbox, theincoherentfangirl@gmail.com. We love hearing from y'all. And before I tell you about the last way to support the podcast, I would like to tell you about something that is brand new to the podcast this season. If you read the episode descriptions on each episode, you will see a brand new link that will take you to a list of all the books that are mentioned or discussed on each episode of the podcast. We had several requests for this. So in editing, I have been taking notes, and now that list is in the world and it exists for you. It will only be season 3 onward, because I am not going back through 70 plus episodes to do that. But from here on out, that list is there, starting with Aurora's episode at the beginning of this year. Mm-hmm. So enjoy that. I know we had several people asking for this because they could not take notes while they were listening. So right. I have done the note taking for you. You're welcome.
Thank you, Karen.
And one last way to support the podcast is to rate and review wherever you are listening to us. Please give us your words. We love hearing words. Them. We love reading them. She is at Mandy Perv on all the things.
I guess she's Miss Made in China on all the things.
And once you have followed,
I said that weird.
You know, it's late. It's very late.
I'm in a silly, goofy mood. I am delirious.
You know, it is that time of the night where Nighttime Mandy comes out.
She's not very fun.
Once you have followed us on social media and you followed the podcast on social media, that words are hard.
Nighttime Karen's coming out.
Apparently, very early. And you followed the podcast on social media, you can head over and visit our internet besties, do some shopping, do some self-care. We support that here. First stop is Here Comes the Nerd. Go to herecomesthenerd.com. Use code FANGIRL and you'll get 20% off your first order.
Then I'm still fighting with my note file, but I know these, so it's fine. Head over to onceuponabookclub.com, get some book boxes and goodies. We have two codes that you can choose from. Okay. So you can either use Karen10 or Mandy10. You cannot stack them. We don't care which one you use. We love you no matter which one you use. And you'll get 10% off.
And once you've done that, you're going to head over to entrancingelixirs.com. Use code FANGIRLT to get 10% off. But unlike Karen, there is no I in FANGIRL. It's FANGRLTEA.
And then, I mean, you've got your art, you've got your bookish goodies, you've got your tea. You need something to read, and I suggest, and Karen suggests, The Fire and Starlight Saga by Amber D. Lewis. You know where you love her. She's been teasing her next project.
Oh my God.
She's been posting some things on Patreon, so if you're not one of her Patreon members, why? Support your podcast's favorite indie author. So if you go buy two of everything off of Amber D. Lewis's website, that's what we suggest. And if you use code FANGIRL10, you'll get 10% off your purchase. So it's basically free.
Yeah, girl math. And once you have finished supporting us and our besties, I suppose you can support the show husband, who is also our technical support.
I was going to say, last week, I was like, is it going to have to be Milo Ventimiglia stepping up? Is Adam Lazare going to? No, we're keeping the show husband. He fixed my microphone. He made sure to tell, like, he plugged it all in and had me test everything. And then he was like, I need you to know this is temporary. We're ordering you some new stuff. So I think that just means a new cord, but we'll see. I don't ever know until the stuff shows up. So we'll keep the show husband.
That means anyways.
Yeah, I'm like, you do it, buddy. So you're gonna head over, and now that this episode is done, go listen to the latest episode of the Paranormal Mind podcast. The last time we record in batches for the Paranormal Mind, two of the stories that we discussed were ones that yours truly found. So hello, go support your girl. So go listen to the Paranormal Mind wherever you are listening to this. Rate and review them. And you can also head over to searchersbelieve.com. we have some merch also designed by yours truly. That is where I shine, apparently. And use code FANGIRL10 and you'll get 10% off there too.
Yay!
So, Searchers Believe in the Paranormal Mind. Yeah, I guess we'll keep him.
Yeah, I suppose. He's pretty
cool. He's kind of cute, so.
And that is a very long episode.
Long episode of the Incoherent
Fangirl. But we hope you had just as much fun as we did, because literally time blew by.
If you're able and lucky, go get some dim sum or some dumplings and think of me when you eat them, because I don't have anything good here.
We love y'all. You. Bye.
Bye.
Give them the hearts. Bye.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd. Pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at herecomesthenerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.